Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that once more we can bow in your holy presence. And we ask again that your word would be our rule of life, your Holy Spirit our teacher, your greater glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder how many of us this past week have done what Jesus told his followers to go. How many of us have been out healing the sick and raising the dead and cleansing those with leprosy? Anyone? No one raised the dead this week. It seems an almost unrealistic expectation, does it? And yet Jesus expected his followers to be able to do that. Such was the measure of faith and the measure of power in his spirit that was given to them. Absolutely amazing, Jesus' expectation on people just like you and me, that we are the ones to build the kingdom of God here on earth. We are the ones to take this good news to people who are our friends and our family and our neighbours. And later on, Jesus says, go to the uttermost parts of the world as well. Start where you are. He said to the disciples, start with the people of Israel. Start where you are. And later, he tells them to go out to everyone. Yesterday, some of the young people and a few of us who are a wee bit older were down at Ingolston for an amazing day of praise and worship. There was a whole day dedicated, and bands were coming and leading us in praise, leading us in worship, and we heard some fine testimony of the transforming power and love of God. What an amazing day it was. One of the songs that we listened to spoke about us being history makers, because we were people charged by God to go and share the truth. We're history makers. And in a sense, each one of us here today who hears the good news, who hears the gospel message, becomes a history maker, because we are charged to go out from here and share the good news, starting with those who are most intimate to us, our friends and family, but taking it to our neighbours and those around us in this city and this country. And if we do that, what an amazing transformation we'll see. I was thinking about journeys. We've been on a journey all year in church. And I was thinking about journeys that bring about transformation. I suppose the most transforming journey I've ever been on, and I spoke to the Guild about this some time ago, was a visit to the United States I made back in 1991. And we were part of a cycle trip, raising money for some homeless projects in London. And we cycled from San Francisco to New Orleans via San Francisco to New York via New Orleans. It was an amazing journey, but you know, things in that journey sometimes didn't go according to plan. There were some hard times on that journey. There was one instance I remember. We were looking forward to accommodation rather than sleeping in tents outside, and we were looking forward to baths and accommodation and some nice food in the town of Charlotte in Carolina. And I arrived in advance of the guys on the bikes, and I started phoning, and I thought, I can't find where I'm supposed to go. And it turned out there were two Carolinas. There was a north and a south. We were supposed to be in the north, but we were in the south. And we were stuck that night, and we were so dejected, because we were looking forward to accommodation, and we had nowhere to stay. And just as happened to Abraham, God sent an angel our way. And the angel said, come and stay in my school sports ground. And they had showers. And it was wonderful. Sometimes there are angels who come among us and we don't recognize them. Sometimes, just like Abraham, who had a trinity of visitors, and we discovered at the end of that short passage from Genesis 18 that one of the visitors was Yahweh himself. Yahweh, the name the Hebrew people gave to God. One of the names of God. Yahweh himself speaks to Abram and Sarah. And Sarah laughs. She doesn't believe the good news. Sometimes when the disciples, the men and women who followed Jesus, were travelling with him, they couldn't believe what was going on. Sometimes they found the journey hard. They didn't always know where they were going. Sometimes they hoped that people would be nice to them, and sometimes they weren't nice to them. Sometimes they hoped someone would offer them food to eat, but sometimes I'm sure they went hungry. And Jesus knew it would be like this sometimes. But he reminded them that God was always, always travelling with them. And because of this, they could hope that somehow their journey would work out in the end. They might not get to where they wanted to be, but it would still be okay because God would be with them. I wonder how we respond when we hear that we are to be the bearers of God's good news. Do we laugh like Sarah in disbelief? What, me? I can't possibly do that. I'm too old. I'm too inexperienced. I don't have the ability to speak this good news. I can't possibly share it with others. I'm too afraid. How do we respond when we are sent out as bearers of this good news? Because we are sent out with this good news. God's not using anyone else. He uses you and me. Abraham and Sarah receive the good news that Sarah will bear a son in her old age. And you know, God does that. God takes seemingly barren situations of life and transforms them and makes them grow and bloom. The Bible talks often about flowers springing forth in the desert. And that's what God does in you and me. If we feel dry, if we feel tired, if we feel spiritually low, God is there to turn to, and God's promise is to lift us up and reinvigorate us and set us out to share his love, his good news. There's a statement I'm sure you've heard, probably used at some stage in your life. Suffering produces endurance. You heard something like that? Suffering produces endurance. That's the kind of statement that can be both helpful and harmful. Some people have found it an encouragement. Others have heard it used to trivialize or minimize the sufferings, the very real sufferings they're going through. Sometimes it's not so easy when you're going through a tough time to hear, oh, just suffer. It'll bring endurance. It's not so easy to hear that sometimes. Other times it can be helpful because it reminds us that although we may be going through a tough time just now, God's promise to us is that in the future we'll be liberated from all the things we're finding hard, liberated from all that baggage that holds us down and weighs us down and holds us back. Suffering can produce endurance. But I wonder, is that the kind of message we're sharing with people? Oh, just stick it out. It'll get better in the end. Or are we saying to them, things can be better now. Now you can know the love of your God. Now you can be in fellowship with your Creator. Because that's the very real offer God makes to us. We can enjoy his company now. And sometimes when people come into our midst, we just don't know who they are. They may be, as another of the songs yesterday said, we may be entertaining angels unawares. Remember, Jesus in one of the parables said, whoever did it to the very least of these did it unto me. And when we're sharing the good news, we don't know who it is we're going to be sharing it with. That person, as we said yesterday, may be a future leader of this country. It may be a future church leader. It may be someone who's going to be the next big evangelist who will bring thousands of people to faith in Jesus Christ. We just don't know. And that one small step of faith we make, entertaining them, or speaking with them, or sharing our faith with them, that one little thing might be the thing that tips the balance, and God will use in a mighty way. What does it mean when Jesus sends out the disciples with authority to preach and heal? Well, it means for you and me in our church that we are the ones who can make a real difference in our society. The mission of the church has from day one always involved this telling the good news. It's always involved evangelism. The word evangelism itself comes from a Greek word which means to share the good news, evangelion. It's at the very heart of Jesus' final instruction to his disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples not just of your own folk, but make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. What a wonderful commission these disciples received. And that commission is also for you and me, for we too are Christ's disciples. And we have to go beyond our own inner circle and go out and tell this good news and make disciples. Not just make churchgoers, but make true disciples. And we can only do that if we ourselves are trying to be a disciple. Make disciples of all nations, telling them the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them everything that we ourselves can learn from God's Word. There was a time in this country, I'm sure many of you even came through that time and remember it. There was a time when evangelism was relatively simple. It was a time when the church was seen as the center of the community. And people still came to worship as part of what it meant to be a good citizen. And sharing the good news was something that was done from where I'm standing, done from the pulpit. And in Sunday school classes, the good news was shared. And it was tacitly shared within the fellowship of the church, within the congregation. But really, these days are a distant memory for us. We live in highly secularized communities. We live in a community that's suspicious, often, of organized religion. And people are cautious about the church, given its painful recent past. Evangelism is no longer about sharing the good news to a community that's open and accepting. Today, we start way behind. And we are engaged in a task that at times can be demanding and difficult. It seems to me there are a number of different reasons why evangelizing is more difficult now than ever. The first is we face an audience that is positively hostile to the gospel. They'd rather live any other lifestyle than a gospel lifestyle. They'd rather hear any other message than the gospel message. They'd rather know any other way out of their troubles than Jesus Christ. Many people in our society, folks around us, feel that we Christians care less about them than they do about them becoming part of the number here on a Sunday morning. I wonder if that's true. Because the gospel tells us we need to care for people first. And through our love and our care and our sharing, God will bring them into our number. But when we try and artificially drag people into a Sunday service, we've got the whole order the wrong way about. Abraham entertained angels unawares. He didn't just offer them a quick cup of tea and send them on their way. He fed them the very best he could. He cared for them. In some places, when Elizabeth and I go on holiday and perhaps we go to other churches, we sense that what they really care about is that we come in and we sit in the right place and we do the right thing. Sometimes it's a bit like having a flock of crows descend upon you when you come into a church. They want to see, are you new? Are you going to stay? Are you going to boost our numbers? It's an awful experience. You've probably experienced that at some time in your life. Instead of getting to know and care and love, when folks come into our churches, they're descended upon. They're another number. They're not known and welcomed. Sometimes our audience is hostile. Another reason why evangelization is difficult today is that the agendas of many people's lives are very, very different to ours. certainly different to the teaching of the church. Issues like the complexity of family life, social and ethical issues, political dilemmas, coping with the pressures of life. Often these things are secondary to the organisational interests of leaders and congregations. Do we make it easy for folks to be part of our fellowship? Do we recognise that family life is not simple anymore? Do we recognise that people have all sorts of pressures in their life? Do we make it easy for people to be part of our fellowship? Do we make it easy for young people who live very different lives to you and I? Do we make it easy for them to be part of our church? Or do we expect people to come in and fit in with the way we do things? The agendas of other people's lives are very different to ours sometimes. And another problem is our language, the kind of way we talk about salvation. Sometimes people don't even know what the word salvation means. They don't know that in our own state we could never possibly hope to get into heaven. They don't know that the wrong things we do in our life mount up as a barrier between us as people, and certainly between us and our perfect Creator. We talk about eternal life, and if people's life is miserable, they say, well, I don't want any more of this. Thank you very much. And they need to know that the eternal life we're speaking of is a quality of life light years better than the life we experience just now. This is just the start of that journey. We're in the transition phase. We're learning to be part of God's kingdom here in this life. Again, yesterday, one of the speakers was talking about the Bible and said it's the basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible is. This is just the start of God's amazing journey that God has planned for us. But sometimes our language in church doesn't help people on that journey. When we talk about the person and the work of Jesus, we talk about the being of God. For many people, what they hear is a kind of pre-scientific worldview that they just cannot accept anymore. And many people find it impossible to grasp the truth of Scripture. And yet there are some eminent scientists, even in this country, we're very clear that there is nothing in Scripture that's contradicted by science. And when people say to us, oh, I just don't believe that Bible, we need to challenge them. But we need to challenge them and then speak to them in the language they understand, so they understand the timeless truth of God's Word conveyed to them in a way that they can grasp. And of course, to do that, you and I have to grasp God's Word ourselves, and we have to be reading God's Word and trying to understand it and apply it to our own lives and to the life of our church fellowship. Our language has to speak the truth. These are reasons why evangelization is difficult today, but there are ways forward. There are ways to respond to these things. And the first is to understand that the most crucial issue for people who are interested in exploring the faith is to have a sense of belonging. We can't expect them to be perfect card-carrying, signed-up Christian church people as they come in the door. Long before people think about the content of the good news and the faith, they're asking themselves, could I possibly even belong here? And that question involves concerns about safety, about unconditional acceptance, about a community that is open and hospitable. Can I belong here? If I can't really belong, then I'll not engage with you in issues of faith or anything else. Does my story have a place within the story of this community? If it does, then I'll take the next step and I'll explore how my story connects with your story, the story of faith. People are looking for a place of belonging. I guess the reason many of our young people drift away from church is that they are unable to experience that sense of belonging to a fellowship that's very real, perhaps, among you and I. But we need to change so that others, our young people, other people in our community, feel a sense of belonging when they come into our midst. And if people can feel they belong, the next thing that will come is a sense of belief. What Christians believe is not something we can take for granted. Being able to say readily what we believe about God and who Christ is and what it means to be a Christian are important. And perhaps you have made that personal step of faith yourself and you've become a follower of Jesus Christ. But I wonder, have you ever thought about how you would communicate that story to someone else? That's called giving your testimony. Have you ever told anyone your story of how you came to faith? Have you ever shared that good news, that message? Because being able to say what we believe about God, being able to say who we believe Jesus Christ is, being able to say what it means for us to be a Christian is so important. The Bible tells us that the first Christians simply shared what they knew about Jesus and how they experienced Jesus as the Christ, God's Son, the Messiah. It was a very simple process for them. They told their story. And we need to learn a simple language to tell our story. Today we might add that where we can find hope in troubled times is in the utter dependability of God's love. And the key question for us to ask ourselves and perhaps ask others is, where do you find God in your life? For there's one thing that's certain, God is there. And God is reaching out in his grace to everyone. Another area of life that may help us step forward is in how we behave. How then shall I live? One of the hymns begins. What are the principles that allow me to live justly, that allow me to live lovingly, that allow me to live fruitfully? What are the principles of my life? Where a community is willing to engage in a discipleship process that explores the meaning of life, where the community seeks to work together to identify the future with hope, that is a community on the right track. And I pray to God that we are engaging here Sunday by Sunday and during the week as we meet together in that process of discipleship, keeping ourselves on the right track in terms of how we behave. Sometimes our behavior as Christians is miles away, light years away from that that it should be. And we need to watch our behavior because the world watches us too. Another area that may help us in the process of sharing this good news is in the whole area of becoming. All of us are concerned to know that we are building a life that counts, a life that makes a difference. And the becoming aspect of life involves spiritual foundation. It involves spiritual development. It involves character building. It involves coping with life's transitions, difficult though they may be sometimes. And it's certainly the whole area of becoming involves developing the gifts that God gives us, which we can offer in his service. Sometimes there are people who begin that Christian journey and they begin so well and get stuck And they don't continue the journey. And they don't do that process of development, developing their character, developing their sense of being able to communicate what has happened to them. They're not able to tell their story because their story has ground to a halt. I pray if that's you today that you are able to move forward. For God will move forward with you. We need to develop the gifts God gives us. We need to develop these not for our own fattening, but we need to develop them for service. This whole task of being known by God, being welcomed into His family, this whole task of being sent out to share this unconditional love of God, this good news, is a process of evangelism. It embraces each of these aspects: belonging and believing and behaving and becoming. Each one of these things is attractive. Taken together, they're unconditionally attractive to those who are seeking faith, and they offer us a framework as Christians to live our lives, belonging and believing and behaving and becoming. And they offer us a framework to offer to others. You see, God continues to invite men and women and young people into His family. He continues to invite men and women and young people to engage in mission. And God beckons all to look with compassion as Jesus looked. He calls all to respond as the 12 did, who Jesus sent out. When we are called, we may trust God's good gifts and hope to sustain us on the way, even if that way is difficult. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for our fellowship here. We thank you for the friendships many of us have been building up over these past weeks and months and years. We ask you continue to bless us. Make us open to each other. Help us to know and love each other even better. Help us to enjoy coming together as your people in this place. And help us also to enjoy going out from here, buoyed up, filled with your Spirit, encouraged in our walk with you, that we may be evangelists, that we may be those who take this good news from this place out into our families and beyond our families, an intimate circle, to those around us, our neighbours, our friends, our workmates. Help us to live our lives in a way that makes a difference at home and at work and at play. Help us to be a people who are like a shining light in a dark place, that others would be attracted to that light and see not us but your goodness. Help us to be a people who are welcoming, a people prepared to change, that we may embrace others. And as we do these things, Lord, we know that Scripture promises you will bless us. So we pray for your blessing, for your ongoing presence with us. And we thank you for making us part of this part of your family. In Jesus' name, Amen.